Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So we're studying the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita here at Govinda Kunj, home of Lilavati, Dwarkadish, Rupal, Janavi, and Nihar Parekh, and we have our guest, Ishwara Puri Das. This family is under the protection and blessings of His Holiness Bhakti Churu Swami Maharaj. And we are studying Antyalila chapter 16. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tastes nectar from the lips of Lord Sri Krishna. We left off on text number 65. So if you want to follow along, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antyalila, chapter number 16, verse number 65. That year, Shivananda Sen brought with him his wife and youngest son, Puridas. Taking his son, Shivananda Sen went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at his residence. He made his son offer respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord. Where's your book? All right. Taking his son, Shivananda Sen went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at his residence. No, there's no sheets because only few people come and everybody usually brings their book. He made his son offer respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord. Again and again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the boy to chant the name of Krishna, but the boy would not utter the holy name. So just see, Lord Chaitanya made animals chant. He made everybody chant except this boy. Text 68. Although Shivananda Sen tried with much endeavor to get his boy to speak Krishna's holy name, the boy would not utter it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I have induced the whole world to take the holy name of Krishna. I have induced even the trees and immovable plants to chant the holy name. That reminds us of the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur. When Lord Chaitanya asked him, how will all the living entities get benedicted? And Haridas Thakur said that when there's loud chanting, there's an echo. He said, actually, it's not an echo. It's the chanting of the immovable living entities when we do loud chanting. But I could not induce this boy to chant the holy name of Krishna. Hearing this, Swarup Damodar Goswami began to speak. My Lord, he said, you have given him initiation into the name of Krishna, but after receiving the mantra, he will not express it in front of everyone. This boy chants the mantra within his mind, but does not say it aloud. That is his intention, as far as I can guess. Gayatri mantra is murmured. There's a difference between murmured and silent. Murmur. We read that purport. Murmur. Murmured means it's not silent. murmured. In other words, it's still out loud, but it's said very softly, murmured. Later we'll look up the exact definition, English. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it said murmured, not silenced. There is a difference. Yeah, that's where we get that from. Another day, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to the boy, "Recite, my dear Puridas," the boy composed the following verse and expressed it before everyone. So let's look at that verse. Let's chant it together. Shravaso kuvalayam akshnor anjanam uraso mahindra manidham brindavana ramaninam mandanam akilam harir jayati. Lord Sri Krishna is just like a bluish lotus flower for the ears. He is ointment for the eyes and a necklace of Indranila gems for the chest, and universal ornaments for the gopi damsels of Vrindavan. Let that Lord Sri Hari Krishna be glorified. Although the boy was only 7 years old and still had no education, he composed such a nice verse. Everyone was struck with wonder, and we are reminded at the age of 7, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had memorized the Bhagavad Gita and could lecture. Bhakti Siddhanta, by the age of 7, had memorized Bhagavad Gita and could speak on it. Wow. Yes, very good. This is the glory of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy, which even the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, cannot estimate. All the devotees remained with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continuously for 4 months. What are those 4 months? Chaturmasya. Then the Lord ordered them back to Bengal, and therefore they returned. As long as the devotees were in Nilachala, Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu maintained his external consciousness. But after their departure, his chief engagement was again the madness of ecstatic love for Krishna. Throughout the entire day and night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly relished Krishna's beauty, fragrance, and taste as if he were touching Krishna hand to hand. One day, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to visit the temple of Lord Jagannath, the gatekeeper at the Singhadwar approached him and offered respectful obeisances. The Lord asked him, "Where is Krishna, my life and soul? Please show me Krishna." Saying this, he caught the doorkeeper's hand. Jai, all glories to that doorkeeper. The doorkeeper replied, yes. The doorkeeper replied, "The son of Maharaj Nanda is here. Please come along with me and I shall show you." Lord Chaitanya said to the doorman, "You are my friend. Please show me where the Lord of my heart is." After the Lord said this, they both went to the place known as Jagamohan, where everyone views Lord Jagannath. "You see," the doorkeeper said, "here is the best of the personalities of Godhead. From here you may see the Lord to the full satisfaction of your eyes." So, best of personalities of Godhead. You have been to South India, North India. There are so many Narayan deities, Vishnu forms, avatars. But when you go to Jagannath Puri, you get Krishna. You get Jagannath. Here, the best of the personalities of Godhead. That verse, Ete Chang Sakala Sa Krishnas Tu Bhagavan Swayam Vyakulam Lokam Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. Very good. The best of Krishna's, what is that? Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. Text number 85. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed behind the huge column called the Garuda Stamba, Haribol, and looked upon Lord Jagannath. But as he looked, he saw that Lord Jagannath had become Lord Krishna with his flute to his mouth. Because normally we see like this. He's seeing like this. Different. In his book known as Gauranga Stava Kalpaviksha, Raghunath Das Goswami has described this incident very nicely. Let's see. My dear friend, the doorkeeper, where is Krishna, the Lord of my heart? Kindly show him to me quickly. With these words, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu addressed the doorkeeper like a madman. The doorkeeper grasped his hand and replied very hastily, "Come, see your beloved. May that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rise within my heart and thus make me mad also." Text 88. The offering of food, known as Gopal Vallabha Bhog, was then given to Lord Jagannath, and arati was performed with the sound of the conch and the ringing of bells. When the arati finished, the prasadam was taken out, and the servants of Lord Jagannath came to offer some to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The servants of Lord Jagannath first garlanded Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then offered him Lord Jagannath's prasadam. The prasadam was so nice that its aroma alone, to say nothing of its taste, would drive the mind mad. And when Dwarkadish went to Jagannath Puri in 1995, what made him mad? Rubbery. He was daily getting Jagannath rubbery. And I remember Dwarkadish was telling me, "Oh, this is so good. Narantra Prabhu, you have to eat this rubbery." Because he had a connection with nice panda. Yeah. Text 91. The prasadam was made of very valuable ingredients. Therefore, the servant wanted to feed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a portion of it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tasted a portion of the prasadam. Govinda took the rest and bound it in the end of his wrapper. To Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the prasadam tasted millions upon millions of times better than nectar, and thus he was fully satisfied. The hair all over his body stood on end, and incessant tears flowed from his eyes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered, "Where has such a taste in this prasadam come from? Certainly it is due to its having been touched by the nectar of Krishna's lips." So here we are getting an intimate glimpse into the science of Mahaprasad. Everything is scientific. So here you're getting Lord Chaitanya's revealing nectar of Krishna's lips. That means Krishna actually eats what is offered by his devotee. He says he's only looking for what? Yes, bhakti. In that verse of Bhagavad Gita. But he says, "I eat. Ashnami prayatatmana. I eat." But it's when it's offered, it's prasadam. Mahaprasad means what was directly offered on Krishna's plate. That's Mahaprasadam. There's a slight difference. First is prasad, what's offered. When something is offered, then the whole stock that it came from is considered offered. But Mahaprasadam means what was actually put on the Lord's plate. That's Mahaprasadam. Now, when that is taken by a great devotee and there's some remnants left, Mahaprasadam. You know better than me. I don't know. I don't know. Okay? No, it was prashadam when it was offered. It doesn't need to be mixed, then it's prashad. When it's offered, the whole thing from where it came is offered. Okay? Now it's prashad. His question is different. You take that mahaprashad and mix it back. Now everything becomes that I don't know. You know better than me. You tell me. You tell. Tell everybody on the internet. Is that what you understood? Either do I. Let us continue. Understanding this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt an emotion of ecstatic love for Krishna. But upon seeing the servants of Lord Jagannath, he restrained himself. The Lord said again and again, only by great fortune may one come by a particle of the remnants of food offered to the Lord. The servants of Jagannath Temple inquired, what is the meaning of this purport? The remnants of Krishna's food are mixed with his saliva. So this is not metaphorical. This is to be taken direct. In the Mahabharata and the Skanda Purana, it is said, Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave Swalpam Punyavatam Rajan Vishvaso Naiva Jayate. Persons who are not very highly elevated in pious activities cannot believe in the remnants of food, prasadam, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor in Govinda, the holy name of the Lord, nor in the Vaishnavas. Text number 97. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, these are remnants of food that Krishna has eaten and thus turned to nectar with his lips. It surpasses heavenly nectar, and even such demigods as Lord Brahma find it difficult to obtain. 98. Remnants left by Krishna are called phela. Anyone who obtains even a small portion must be considered very fortunate. One who is only ordinarily fortunate cannot obtain such mercy. Only persons who have the full mercy of Krishna can receive such remnants. During the pastimes with Sarvabhauma, after Sarvabhauma was converted, one day Lord Chaitanya brought him Mahaprasad. He had just not even gotten out of bed. Usually you take your bath before doing anything. But Sarvabhauma said, no, when Mahaprasad comes, there's no consideration of time, place, circumstance. You immediately accept. So even though he hadn't bathed, he was just still in bed. Lord Chaitanya brought the Mahaprasad. He took. As it says here, mercy, such mercy. Only persons who have the full mercy of Krishna can receive such remnants. The word sukriti refers to pious activities performed by the mercy of Krishna. One who is fortunate enough to obtain such mercy receives the remnants of the Lord's food and thus becomes glorious. So this is the religion I joined. The religion by which, by eating, you become perfect. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to all the servants. After seeing the next offering of food to Lord Jagannath, how many times is he fed? 56 times. Wow. 50, that means there's offering after offering after offering. That's right. Yes. That's called being merciful. You are most merciful when you do that.
But you know, they feel kind of guilty they are eating something else, maybe some kind of non-veg that they don't want.
Doesn't matter. Don't worry about that. Give prasad. Just give prasad. If they commit offense, that's their problem. We give prasad. Just like the same argument. People complain. Why there are so many pictures in Prabhupada's books people are throwing away. Prabhupada didn't care. Distribute the books widely. Prabhupada knew sometimes they were throwing, but distribute the mercy. This is the age of Kali. Something is better than nothing. Even we don't touch grains on Ekadasi, but every Hare Krishna restaurant cooks grains and serves, because not everybody's there follows Ekadasi, neither is a devotee. So at least they're eating prasad. It's better than nothing. Yes, Ed. Yes. Yes, please do.
So one time, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was offered some food by Sarvabhu Bhattacharya, a lot of food, you know.
Yes.
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate, and then he wanted to give him more. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I can't have any more, you know. This is enough for me. Then Sarvabhu Bhattacharya is looking, he said, Prabhu, why you are making, you know, fun of me, you know? You are eating 50
times. Right. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes. That was at the house of Advaitacharya also. He chastised him because he was saying, I'm a sannyasi. He said, I know who you are. Don't try to fool me. Very good. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to all the servants. After seeing the next offering of food to Lord Jagannath, a function known as Upalabhog, he returned to his own quarters. Text number 102. After finishing his noon duties, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate his lunch, but he constantly remembered the remnants of Krishna's food. So here's the point, noon duties. Everybody has duties. Sannyasi has duties. Everybody has, in Vedic culture, everyone has duties. Children have duties. Women have duties. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, even sannyasis have duties. Parikshit Maharaj on his deathbed, right? He has 7 days. First question he asks everybody, what's my duty now at the time of death? That's human life. What is my duty? He constantly remembered the remnants of Krishna's food. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his external activities, but his mind was filled with ecstatic love. So this is Raganuga platform. You still do externally, you're behaving like a neophyte. Internally, you're thinking of your swarup, your relationship with Krishna, following in the footsteps of a particular devotee on the Raganuga platform. But nobody knows, because externally, you're acting just like everybody else. The other day, we were hearing about Madhavendra Puri, and it was explained that even though he was so exalted, his japa was like that of a neophyte. In other words, very sincere, very serious japa, even though he was on the high platform. Externally, he was behaving like a neophyte. With great difficulty, he tried to restrain his mind, but it would always be overwhelmed with very deep ecstasy. After finishing his evening duties, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down with his personal associates in a secluded place and discussed the pastimes of Krishna in great jubilation. Text 105. Following the indications of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govinda brought the prasadam of Lord Jagannath. The Lord sent some to Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then gave shares of the prasadam to Ramananda Roy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sarup Damodar Goswami and all the other devotees. As they tasted the uncommon sweetness and fragrance of the prasadam, everyone's mind was struck with wonder. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, these ingredients, such as sugar, camphor, black pepper, cardamom, cloves, butter, spices, and licorice, are all material. Everyone has tasted these material substances before. Purport. The word prakrita refers to things tasted for sense gratification of the conditioned soul. Such things are limited by the material laws. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to make the point that material things have already been experienced by materially absorbed persons who are interested only in sense gratification. Just like the story I always tell. First time I had Mahaprasadam, spinach. When my mother cooked spinach, I'd spit it out. I would never eat it. But that first Mahaprasadam spinach, I wanted more and more and more. It was like so good. I was jumping up and down. Right? My mother had spinach so many times. I would not eat it. This spinach, Mahaprasad of Radha Govinda. Text 110. However, the Lord continued, in these ingredients, there are extraordinary tastes and uncommon fragrances. Just taste them and see the difference in the experience. Apart from the taste, even the fragrance pleases the mind and makes one forget any other sweetness besides its own. Therefore, it is to be understood that the spiritual nectar of Krishna's lips has touched these ordinary ingredients and transferred to them all their spiritual qualities. Purport. Since everyone had previously tasted these ingredients, why had they become extraordinary and spiritually delicious? This was the proof that food, prasadam, becomes uncommonly flavorful and delicious by touching Krishna's lips. A fragrance and taste that are uncommon and greatly enchanting and that make one forget all other experiences are attributes of Krishna's lips. Just like, to draw a mundane analogy, in the mundane world, a girl and a boy, when they kiss, the romantic idea is the girl will know, the boy will know by the kiss that this is the one in the mundane world. So we know because prasadam has touched Krishna's lips. So everything is a perverted reflection originally found with Krishna. During the rasa dance, the gopis' mouths became Krishna's spittoon. Spittoon is a pot that you spit in. So the gopis' mouths became a spittoon for Krishna. And they relished anything, that nectar from Krishna's lips during the Rasa Leela. Text 114. This prasadam has been made available only as a result of many pious activities. Now taste it with great faith and devotion. So when we went to Jagannath Puri, and we got Mahaprasadam, many pious activities. Many pious activities. Bhavanam Janmanam Ante. Sarvamitti Samahatma Sadur Labha. Loudly chanting the holy name of Hari, all of them tasted the prasadam. As they tasted it, their minds became mad in the ecstasy of love. When I first go to New York Temple, every day I had prasadam, it was like that. mad in ecstasy. I remember that Sunday feast when I had my first samosa. Unbelievable. I loved samosas so much. You know, in the feast, at least back then, they'd make up plates for everybody. So when the guests walked in, the plates were already on the floor. So sometimes at a Sunday feast, there'd be leftover plates. I would look for the leftover. Where's the samosa? Ah. And I would pack samosas for the rest of the week in my locker. Samosas, when they made them back then, unreal. I'd be mad with ecstasy. As their minds became mad in the ecstasy of love. In ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda Roy to recite some verses. So that's his service. That's Ramananda, because he's one of the three and a half. And at this stage, it's Ramananda and Swarup Damodar. They're always with him. Because Ramananda has been given permission to retire. So he is free now. All he does now is stay with Lord Chaitanya. Let's look at that verse, text number 117. Surata vardhanam shoka nashanam swarita venuna sushtu chumbitam itararaga vismaranam nrinam vitara vira naste tamamritam. O hero of charity, please deliver unto us the nectar of your lips. So who is the hero of charity? Krishna. Very good. That nectar increases lusty desires for enjoyment and diminishes lamentation in the material world. So here, something is contradictory. Dwarkadish, what's contradictory here? But what happens when the conditioned soul enjoys material enjoyment, especially lusty desires? What's the end result? Ha! But here, the lamentation is diminished. Normally, lusty desires means eventually you're going to sing the blues. This is different. This lusty desires means prema bhakti. That kind of lusty desires, not calm. This is prema. This lusty desire is prema. And prema is the only thing that can diminish lamentation in the material world. So that's the contradiction. This is like, what? All right. Kindly give us the nectar of your lips, which are touched by your transcendentally vibrating flute, which the gopis are jealous of. The gopis are jealous. They think, wait a second. That nectar of Krishna's mouth belongs to us. Why the flute is getting? They're jealous of the flute. And they say, and the flute is male. What is this? What is this all about? Don't get the wrong idea out there in the internet. Which are touched by your transcendentally vibrating fruit. For that nectar makes all human beings forget all other attachments. The wives of the Brahmins, immediately when they heard that Krishna and Balaram were in the forest, they personally came to bring the prasad. The gopis, when they heard the sound of Krishna's flute, dropped everything. Husbands, children, eating, everything just ran. And there's that one chapter in 10th canto where the gopis are describing how Krishna's flute affects everyone. The birds listen, the calves become stuck, even though they're taking milk from the cow. Everyone becomes physically stunned by the sound of Krishna's flute. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 31st chapter, verse 14. So that's Gopi Geet, that chapter, Gopi Geet. Upon hearing Ramananda Roy quote this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. Then he recited the following verse, which had been spoken by Srimati Radharani in great anxiety. So now we have a verse by Srimati Radharani. My dear friend, the all-surpassing nectar from the lips of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, can be obtained only after many, many pious activities. For the beautiful gopis of Vrindavan, that nectar vanquishes the desire for all other tastes. That's why I've said many times, you could offer Radharani anything, nothing. This is what she wants, Krishna's nectar. If Krishna had asked the gopis, come with me to Dwarka, not this Krishna. We want the one playing the flute on the bank of the Yamuna, not this Yadu Kumar, prince, elephants, horses. Yes. For the beautiful gopis of Vrindavan, that nectar vanquishes the desire for all their other tastes. Madan Mohan always chooses pan that surpasses the nectar of heaven. So should we also chew pan? No, that would mean we're imitating Krishna. And I believe we can't even chew the pan that's prasad. Yeah, I heard there's one thing that sometimes they offer Krishna, betel nut. The devotees don't take that mahaprasad out of humility. There's a statement like that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That they don't, it's like we don't eat grains, even mahaprasadam grains, on Ekadasi. It's that same mentality. The devotee always thinks, I'm on the material platform, I'm falling. Not that I'm on that platform. So who's Madan Mohan? Krishna. Always choose pan, unless, okay, the only time is if you get it directly from Krishna's mouth. If you're dancing in the Rasa dance, now it's okay. Madan Mohan always choose pan that surpasses the nectar of heaven. He is certainly increasing the desires of my tongue. This verse is found in Govinda Lilamrita. That Govinda Lilamrita is by the same author, Krishnadas Kaviraj. Text 120. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed by ecstatic loving emotions. Talking like a madman, he began to explain the meaning of the two verses. Purport by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can't get much better than this. You're going to get a Lord Chaitanya purport. My dear lover, Lord Chaitanya said in the mood of Srimati Radharani, let me describe some of the characteristics of your transcendental lips. They agitate the mind and body of everyone. They increase lusty desires for enjoyment. They destroy the burden of material happiness and lamentation, and they make one forget all material tastes. So again, very interesting what Radharani is saying. The whole world falls under their control. They vanquish shame, religion, and patience, especially in women. Indeed, they inspire madness in the minds of all women. Your lips increase the greed of the tongue and thus attract it. Considering all this, we see that activities of your transcendental lips are always paradoxical. Paradoxical means two things simultaneously contradicting, yet it's true. Paradox. How can that be? That Narayan was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. Conundrum. Text number. Yes. Yes. Very good point. And also, that love can also be displayed as anger. Loving anger.
She's full. But still it is
she's full. It's increasing. And there's a competition between Krishna's beauty and Radha's beauty. And there's no end. Radharani continues to, oh, Lord Chaitanya gives the Radharani purport. My dear Krishna, since you are a male, it is not very extraordinary that the attraction of your lips can disturb the minds of women. But I am ashamed to say that your impudent lips sometimes attract even your flute, which is also considered male. It likes to drink the nectar of your lips, and thus it also forgets all other tastes. Text 124. Aside from conscious living beings, even unconscious matter is sometimes made conscious by your lips. Therefore, your lips are great magicians. Paradoxically, although your flute is nothing but dry wood, your lips constantly make it drink their nectar. They create a mind and senses in the dry wooden flute and give it transcendental bliss. There's another verse in First Canto, a description of when Krishna puts the conch to his mouth, it becomes reddened by the touch of Krishna's blowing into the conch. So it's a similar thing here. Yes. That flute is very cunning male who drinks again and again the taste of another male's lips. It advertises its qualities and says to the gopis, O gopis, if you are so proud of being women, come forward and enjoy your property, the nectar of the lips of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thereupon the flute said angrily to me, Give up your shame, fear, and religion, and come drink the lips of Krishna. On that condition, I shall give up my attachment for them. If you do not give up your shame and fear, however, I shall continuously drink the nectar of Krishna's lips. I am slightly fearful, because you also have the right to drink that nectar. But as for the others, I consider them like straw. So, some people, they think that Prabhupada's books are for neophytes. This doesn't sound that way to me. This is not neophyte stuff. That means when people say like that, oh, Prabhupada's books are just ABCs. Really? I'd like to be on this platform, ABCs. That tells me they have not read. If you've actually read Prabhupada's books, you know where is the high esoteric things. It's there. You have to be a miner and know how to take it out of the mine. Text 127. The nectar of Krishna's lips, combined with the vibration of his flute, attracts all the people of the three worlds. But if we gopis remain patient out of respect for religious principles, the flute then criticizes us. The nectar of your lips and the vibration of your flute join together to loosen our belts and induce us to give up shame and religion, even before our superiors. That's a very embarrassing situation. You experience these bodily changes even in front of your superiors. It's a very embarrassing situation. As if catching us by our hair, they forcibly take us away and deliver us unto you to become your maid servants. What does that tell you? Humility. The power of Krishna makes anyone immediately humble. Hearing of these incidents, people laugh at us. We have thus become completely subordinate to the flute. And let's see who remembers. Rupa, on our platform, where is Krishna's flute? On our platform. You can appreciate Krishna's flute on this platform. Where are we going to appreciate Krishna's flute? You can't hear Krishna's flute right now, right? Even we play some flute music, that's not Krishna. But we are able to hear Krishna's flute. How? Ha! There you go. Where's my bell? The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's where the flute is. And that's when you know your chanting is perfect, because when you chant, you will actually hear the flute. So if you haven't heard the flute, go on chanting. Keep on chanting until you hear that sound of Krishna's flute. It's there. We don't have the proper cable access codes. What is that? But what kind of chanting?
Pure.
Pure chanting. Then we can hear. Everybody chant. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Yes, the devotees online are saying, I want to hear his flute. Then keep chanting, Bunky Bihari. Keep on chanting. Me too. We all want to chant and hear Krishna's flute. We have 11 devotees on this Good Friday morning. Let us continue. We have thus become completely subordinate to that flute. Text 129. This flute is nothing but a dry stick of bamboo. So what are the other flutes made of? Jewels? Is there any other? Yes.
One is Murli. And I think that they have a different on that, but it's originally is made out of bamboo.
But the jewels are added. And they're different sizes. Alright, so they're all made out of bamboo. That was given to us by His Grace Dwarkadish Das.
It's a nectar of devotion.
Jai. Yeah, but you're the one who reminded us. You get the credit. This flute is nothing but a dry stick of bamboo, but it becomes our master and insults us in so many ways that it forces us into a predicament. What can we do but tolerate it? The mother of a thief cannot cry loudly for justice when the thief is punished. Just meditate on that. The mother, naturally, even if the child is a criminal, doesn't want to see her child punished. That's mother. There are so many TV shows like that. The mother is the mother of a criminal, but when her son is condemned to death, she's crying. Because all she knows, this is my son. The mother of a thief cannot cry loudly for justice when the thief is punished. Therefore, we simply remain silent. This is why I like this book. So much practical knowledge is there. Not just... See, that's another thing. People in general don't want to read spiritual books. They don't realize there's lots of practical knowledge. Like I used to say, you don't want to take this Bhagavad Gita? You want to be a demon? Here, chapter 16. Become first-class demon. Take it. This will teach, or read about Hiranyakashipu. Read Ravan. These are your founder acharyas. Don't read these small demons. These modern-day insignificant, go to the real ones, the ones who started it all. Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Ravan. Go to the great granddaddy. Yeah, the great acharyas of disciplic succession. Jai. Text 130. Such is the policy of these lips. Just consider some other injustices. Everything that touches those lips, including food, drink, or betel, becomes just like nectar. It is then called Krishna Fela, or remnants left by Krishna. Even after much prayer, the demigods themselves cannot obtain even a small portion of the remnants of such food. Just imagine the pride of those remnants. Only a person who has acted piously for many, many births, and thus become a devotee, can obtain the remnants of such food. So, How do you know that you got Krishna's mercy? How do you know that you're a devotee? Because you're getting prasad. You're getting mahaprasad. There's one scientific proof that you're a devotee and that you've gotten Krishna's mercy, that you're able to get mahaprasad. Whether it's Nudwarka Mahaprasad, Jagannath Mahaprasad, or Ujjain Mahaprasad, or Govinda Kunj Mahajai. Jai, jai, jai. Only a person who has acted piously for many, many births and has thus become a devotee can obtain the remnants of such food. Text 132. The beetle chewed by Krishna is priceless, and the remnants of such chewed beetle from his mouth are said to be the essence of nectar. When the gopis accept these remnants, their mouths become his spittoons. Ah, see, here it is. Yeah, it's also mentioned in... I was once told a story by my godbrother. Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasan, and there was a spittoon away. Prabhupada, on the Vyasasan, even though the pot was away, perfectly discharged into the pot. The devotee saw. This is what one godbrother took years ago. The beetle chewed by Krishna is priceless, and the remnants of such chewed beetle from his mouth are said to be the essence of nectar. When the gopis accept these remnants, their mouths become his spittoons. Therefore, my dear Krishna, please give up all the tricks. So who's speaking? Who is actually speaking? No, Radharani. Lord Chaitanya is speaking, but this actually is being spoken by Radharani. Therefore, my dear Krishna, please give up all the tricks you have set up so expertly. Do not try to kill the life of the gopis with the vibration of your flute. Because of your joking and laughing, you are becoming responsible for the killing of women. Same thing they said in Gopi Gita. Same thing they charged Krishna. They said the same thing. You're killing us by this. It would be better for you to satisfy us by giving us the charity of the nectar of your lips. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking like this, his mind changed. His anger subsided and his mental agitation increased. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "This nectar from Krishna's lips is supremely difficult to obtain, but if one gets some, his life becomes successful." And we got remnants of Jagannath. We have gotten remnants of so many deities. Dwarkadish, Radha Govinda, you visited so many temples. You have visited many temples. You have gotten this. Krishna Fela, your life is successful. Hari Bol. Text 136. When a person competent to drink that nectar does not do so, that shameless person continues his life uselessly. There are persons who are unfit to drink that nectar, but who nevertheless drink it continuously. Whereas some who are suitable never get it and thus die of greed. It is therefore to be understood that such an unfit person must have obtained nectar of Krishna's lips on the strength of some austerity. Again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Ramananda Roy, "Please say something. I want to hear." Understanding the situation, Ramananda Roy recited the following words of the gopis. Gopyakim acharad ayam kushalam smavenur damodaradhara sudham api gopikanam bunte swayam yad avashishta rasam hridanyo krishyat facho shru mumuchas taravo yataya. My dear gopis, what auspicious activities must the flute have performed to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips independently and leave only a taste for us gopis for whom that nectar is actually meant? The forefathers of the flute, the bamboo trees, shed tears of pleasure. His mother, the river, on whose bank the bamboo was born, feels jubilation, and therefore her blooming lotus flowers are standing like hair on her body. Purport. This verse, quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, chapter 21, is a part of a discussion the gopis had among themselves. This is what I was referring to. This particular chapter is all about, that's what it's called, Venu's Gita, yes. The effects of Krishna. That chapter is called Venu Gita. Thank you, Dwarkadish. Everybody online should know, Dwarkadish is a great scholar. Great scholar. All blessings on the devotees online. Don't go away. Class is not over yet. So don't go away. But they want blessings now. Okay, there's my hand. All right? No, don't go away. Yeah, I'll do it when I'm finished also, but we still got a ways to go. Hang in there. Hari Bol. Okay, this verse quoted from the Venu Gita of Srimad Bhagavatam is part of a discussion the gopis had among themselves. As the autumn season began in Vrindavan, Lord Krishna was tending the cows and blowing on his flute. The gopis then began to praise Krishna and discuss the fortunate position of his flute. Upon hearing the recitation of this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became absorbed in ecstatic love, and with a greatly agitated mind, he began to explain its meaning like a madman. Some gopis said to other gopis, "Just see the astonishing pastimes of Krishna, the son of Vrajendra." So who's Vrajendra? No. He's the son of Rajendra. Nanda Baba. Got to read carefully. He's the son. He can't be the son of himself. Yes. That's right. Vrajendra Nandan. Aha. He will certainly marry all the gopis of Vrindavan. Rupal, when did Krishna marry all the gopis of Vrindavan? Yes, he did. It says he will certainly marry. Now you got to understand how he married. You read Krishna book, you should answer this question. Huh?
Oh, I know when he stole their clothes.
There you go, Rupal. I just had to refer you. Krishna book. Rupal was Krishna book scholar. Yes, when he stole their clothes, and what did he do? And how did they go before him? Naked, yes. That was their marriage. Because no woman can appear naked except anyone other than her husband. That's it. He made them, and they had to cover themselves. He embarrassed them. He made them like dolls. But they still love Krishna. Very good, Rupal. Krishna book is there. I just have to drag it out. He will certainly marry all the gopis of Vrindavan. Therefore, the gopis know for certain that the nectar of Krishna's lips is their own property and cannot be enjoyed by anyone else. Will you take a break? Do. Jai. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Vallava Giri Varadhari So Rupal, Jagadambika wants you and Janavi to come over and see her when you go on Sunday. She gave a message. It's right here. I'm reading it. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Chira Vanachari. Jamuna Chira Vanachari. Jagadambika, you're not interrupting. Everything is good. This is a Raganuga class. There's no such... Yes. Haribol, there's no such thing. We're on Raganuga platform. All right, let's continue. You don't want to stop now, do you? All right. He will certainly marry all the gopis of Vrindavan. Therefore, the gopis know for certain that the nectar of Krishna's lips is their own property and cannot be enjoyed by anyone else. My dear gopis, fully consider how many pious activities this flute performed in his past life. We do not know what places of pilgrimage he visited, what austerities he performed, or what perfect mantra he chanted. This flute is utterly unfit because it is merely a dead bamboo stick. Moreover, it belongs to the male sex. So two things. It's not even alive. It's male. Yet this flute is always drinking the nectar of Krishna's lips, which surpasses nectarine sweetness of every description. Only by hoping for that nectar do the gopis continue to live. So that's called ashabandha, hope against hope. One of the nine symptoms of bhav. Right? There are nine symptoms. So one of them is, you know you have such a small window of opportunity, but still, maybe I'll get Krishna. Maybe. Hope against hope. Ashabandha, it's called. 145. Although the nectar of Krishna's lips is the absolute property of the gopis, the flute, which is just an insignificant stick, is forcibly drinking that nectar and loudly inviting the gopis to come drink it also. Just imagine the strength of the flute's austerities and good fortune. Even great devotees drink the nectar of Krishna's lips after the flute has done so. When Krishna takes his bath in the universally purifying rivers like the Yamuna and the Ganges of the celestial world, the great personalities of those rivers greedily and jubilantly drink the remnants of the nectarine juice from his lips. Aside from the rivers, the trees standing on the banks like great ascetics and engaging in welfare activities for all living entities drink the nectar of Krishna's lips by drawing water from the river with their roots. We cannot understand why they drink like that. The trees on the bank of the Yamuna and Ganges are always jubilant. They appear to be smiling with their flowers and shedding tears in the form of flowing honey. Just as the forefathers of a Vaishnava son or grandson feel transcendental bliss, the trees feel blissful because the flute is a member of their family. So, Dwarkadish and Ishwarapuri, your ancestors are very pleased with you. You are the glory and success of your families. Let's continue. The gopis considered, the flute is completely unfit for his position. We want to know what kind of austerities the flute executed so that we may also perform the same austerities. Although the flute is unfit, He is drinking the nectar of Krishna's lips. Seeing this, we qualified gopis are dying of unhappiness. Therefore, we must consider the austerities the flute underwent in his past life. While thus speaking like a madman, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became full of ecstatic emotion. In the company of his two friends, Sarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Roy, he sometimes danced, sometimes sang, and sometimes became unconscious in ecstatic love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed his days and nights in that way. Expecting the mercy of Swarup, Rup, Sanatan, and Raghunath Das, and taking their lotus feet on my head, I, the most fallen Krishna Das, continue chanting the epic Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is sweeter than the nectar of transcendental bliss. Is he ecstatic or what? Aren't you? I'm ecstatic at this chapter. As my friend Urjaswat would say, I'm jacked up out of control, Prabhu. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anti Lila 16th chapter, describing the nectar flowing from Sri Krishna's lotus lips. Jaya Radha Madhava Gunja Bihari. Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan. Sri Govinda Gopinath Madana Mohan. Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan. Sri Govinda Gopinath Madana Mohan. Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan. Sri Govinda Gopinath Madana Mohan. Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan. Sri Govinda Gopinath Madan Mohan. Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan. Sri Govinda Gopinath Madana Mohan. Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan. Sri Govinda Gopinath Madana Mohan. Sri Govinda Gopinath Madana Mohan. So that ends today's class. Let's say special blessings. So we had Mahatma, we had Salon Nagpal, Jagadambika, we had Chandrakant, we had Chakrarat, we had Devamshu, we had Bunky Bihari, Bhaktarab, Bhakti Devi Dasi. So we had devotees in Vancouver, Seattle, Panama. We also had Bhaktivedanta Manor, Los Angeles, and Delhi, and also Mexico City. All right, everybody, that ends it for today.